Welcome to the Contracting Officer Podcast. It's not just for contracting officers. If you're anywhere in the GovCon world, this podcast is for you. This is episode 300 of the podcast, and since that's sort of a milestone, we decided to think back about what we've learned, what's changed since we've started recording podcasts. This one hits on the common threads throughout most all of our episodes. So without further ado, here we go with episode 300. This is episode 300 of the podcast. 300 is a significant milestone if you like round numbers. It's also a significant movie if you like movies about Spartans in capes fighting against the Persians.
When we sat down at your kitchen table in the summer of 2014 to map out those first 10 episodes, I thought we'd get a little traction. I thought once we got this thing going, but I wasn't really sure if it would stick. And here we are, 6 years later. I'm really glad that it did. Remember how excited we were? We got like the first, 1,000 downloads?
It was 1,000. It took forever to get to, it felt like it took forever to get to 1,000.
Yeah, I think it took us like a month or two to get that first 1,000. And now we get those basically every Monday. And it's just over the years, the recording skills have gotten better. Our focus has improved. And I've really come to enjoy this even more than when we started. So it's been really fun.
It's funny. We've talked before. This gets me deeper into the FAR and deeper into the topics than I ever did when I was a contracting officer, because we have to prepare and make sure we have it right. Not that I didn't look at the FAR before, but not in the same way that I do now.
Yeah, I read the FAR a lot more now than I did as a contracting officer. That's ironic.
So that's changed a little bit. But one thing that hasn't changed since episode one is our mission hasn't changed. We are still focused on making government contracting better, one contract at a time.
To meet that mission, we got to focus on actionable, specific topics at the contract level. And we found that that's what works, is keeping this podcast at the ground level.
Yeah, there's systems in place to manage the macro issues in GovCon. We're not going to change the FAR by doing this. We focus on the micro, one contract at a time. Before we get deeper into what we've learned and celebrate the 300th episode, let's stop and say thanks.
Thanks this week goes to our Apple Podcast reviewers. Here's a short list of those folks. Since we last mentioned the Apple Podcast reviews, we've gotten reviews from FedCO, Penguini 5000, Sarah LB 1995, Suarez the Great, I love that one, AK Neal, David Siegler, H. Smith TL, GI Girl 2004, Cali Girl 2013, don't think they're related, Jody E., and Jason Bell, because Jason even signed his name in the review. And they all gave us 5-star reviews. And I got to tell you, it is humbling to get those 5-star reviews and frankly, put in the work to earn them. I really appreciate people taking the time to write a story of how they're using our podcast on the Apple Podcast. Yeah. I want to thank these folks specifically for taking the time to review our podcast, because these reviews, they help people find our podcast more easily. And by sharing our podcast, you're helping us make government contracting better, one contract at a time.
Nice, nice. Thanks, Apple Podcast reviewers. We don't do this for 5-star reviews. We weren't driven to create a podcast by, let's see how many 5-stars reviews we can
totally
get.
Totally a vanity metric.
Right. But the purpose of the reviews, it isn't for us. It's to help improve our rankings so that other people can find us and other people can help make government contracting better one contract at a time. So thanks again. All right, back to the topic today. What have we learned? We didn't really know this when we started or when we were mapping out the first 10 episodes or thinking about why do a podcast or what would the podcast become. But the word that comes back over and over across all of the podcasts is context. And we've learned that context drives communication.
Over the last 6 years, I've talked to hundreds of podcast listeners. And by the way, if you're interested in setting up a call, go to askskyway.com and you can schedule a time right on my calendar. I love talking to our listeners. The consistent feedback that I've gotten is that they appreciate that we keep the episodes tight at the ground level and specific, because we bring context to the GovCon situation, context from the government side or context from the industry side. But context is still that key. We've seen context be the difference for both government and industry viewpoints.
And that's what I remember sitting around that high top table in the bar when we were first learning how much we didn't know when we had first left the government to work on the industry side, and getting a realization of how much we didn't understand when we were government employees and how much government employees didn't understand what we now were learning on the industry side. It was that context. We didn't say it that way at the time, but that's what we were talking about.
To illuminate this, an example, one of our customers, they thought the contracting officer had gone rogue. It was a project they were trying to get done by a timeline, and they were so frustrated that the contracting officer was asking for legal clearance and extra feedback throughout this process. And he thought, our customer thought, it wasn't needed. But once we explained what the contracting officer was doing, why they were doing it, and how it was going to basically have the lawyer sign off on it now, was going to save time later. And even though it slowed the process down now, it's a slow down to speed up strategy, where now we're skipping steps at the end, which means we're going to get done on time. But once he understood what the contracting officer was doing and why, then he was on board because he had context. And so now his communication increases with the contracting officer. Both sides are now understanding each other. And even though that conversation with me and Shelley took 10 minutes, it basically reset their relationship with their government customer and got stuff done. And we have dozens of stories like this. And that's where it hit me. It's that once you have context, your communication improves.
Yeah, it's easy to think that your counterpart is being mean or ignoring you, unless you've been in their shoes or you can put yourself in their shoes and think about all the steps that they have to go through and why things might take longer. Why aren't they communicating right now? Oh, they aren't communicating right now because there's 200 things that just hit their desk all at once and you're just one of the many priorities, right? It's not that they don't like you. They're trying, but they have a lot to do all of a sudden. Those kind of things happen behind the scenes all the time.
Once we have context, we can hear and be heard. So what I mean by that is we hear because we know what to listen for. When you understand your counterpart's perspective, you know what to listen for. We can hear what they're saying. During our podcast feedback sessions, when I talk to our podcast listeners, they tell me that they love getting the industry folks love getting the contracting officer's perspective, the government point of view, because they need that context, right? So now they can understand why the government is doing things. They can hear them. Likewise, we can be heard, because when you understand what they're looking to, for you to say, then you can say the right things with the right tone and at the right timing. To your point, if you bring me an idea during a particular zone where I'm not in a situation to listen to you, it's not really going to get much done. But we can connect with our counterpart better. And as a result, we use the right language, the right tone, and we set better expectations. Likewise, our government listeners, the folks that I have the feedback sessions with who are government folks, tell me the same thing. They like getting the perspective of the industry folks, because otherwise they don't know what industry's going through. All this goes back to context.
Yeah, we try really hard on the podcast to represent both viewpoints. And we appreciate it when our listeners point out to us that maybe we haven't respected both viewpoints.
I've gotten that feedback too. That's a good point.
Yeah. If you email hosts@contractingofficerpodcast.com, you can get directly to us and tell us where we've failed in trying to represent both sides. We had a customer ask us recently, how do we maintain currency on the government side since we haven't been contracting officers for a little bit? And the answer is that we're sort of in it every day. That's part of the consulting that Skyway does, is we work with industry folks every day who are dealing with contracting officers and deal with contracting officers every day. So we still see the issues on a daily basis. We also try to have government people on the podcast on a regular basis to represent themselves and to help us learn.
And building the content for this podcast, I read the FAR a lot more now than I did as a contracting officer.
That's what we were talking about before. We're actually deeper in it now than we were before.
Yeah.
We said that context drives communication. It works in the opposite direction too. It's a circular thing. Communication drives context. The FAR actually encourages us to communicate. When I say us, I mean the government folks. The FAR stresses this, and we'll pull out a couple citations for you here. FAR 10.2 002B2. Techniques for conducting market research may include any or all of the following. And there's a whole list of the following, but a couple of them. Contacting knowledgeable individuals in government and industry regarding market capabilities to meet requirements. Oh, so talk to people, communicate, share context of what your requirements are.
In government and industry, specifically yeah. says that, like both yeah. sides, don't stay in the corner and say, well, let me talk to the internal government folks. The expectation is we're talking outward.
More outward, Farr also says, participating in interactive online communication among industry, acquisition personnel, and customers. Whoa, that's new. More than industry days, more than RFIs, more than white papers. Interactive online communication. We've seen a lot more virtual town halls, virtual industry days, virtual pitch competitions now. The COVID situation has actually driven a lot more online communication. It's good that the FAR had already encouraged that.
I love the interactive online communication because what that says to me is it's okay as a contracting officer to talk to industry on LinkedIn. And when I was a contracting officer, when Facebook, they wouldn't even let us use Facebook for years, right? And I had somebody tell me, well, you can't put your profile on LinkedIn. This is like, I don't know,
right. 2000. Forever ago.
But that idea of, well, we can't be interacting, whereas now it's actually in FAR. Yeah. It says this is the expectation.
Yeah, I read that as don't just post a webinar or post a paper online for people to read, but interactive, right? What's wrong with a Zoom call type industry day where questions are asked in real time? What's wrong with having your forum open for all to listen and respond to? That now the FAR says do it. All right, more about the FAR communication driving context. 15.201A says exchanges of information among all interested parties from the earliest identification of a requirement through receipt of proposals are encouraged. Whoa. Exchanges of information amongst all parties, industry and government, from the earliest identification of the requirement, the beginning of the requirement zone, through receipt of proposals until those final proposals are submitted at the beginning of the source selection zone. Open exchanges are encouraged. Now, you got to follow the procurement rules, but that doesn't prevent you from sharing a lot of context.
It also says that interested parties includes potential offers, users, government acquisition and supporting personnel, and others involved in the conduct or outcome of the acquisition. In other words, everybody.
Yeah.
that's a giant bucket, right? And it's interesting that I used to think in terms of, well, I can only talk to folks that are specifically on the program or somebody who's already given us a notice of intent to bid, or there's some limiting factor. And this isn't limiting. This is says others involved in the conduct or outcome of the acquisition. That is wide open. And so what it basically says is during market research zone, communication is wide open. I wonder if market research zone will ever show up in the FAR. Maybe someday.
Maybe the zones will get there.
That's right.
Since the earliest thoughts about this podcast, since we're first thinking about how we could do this, should we do this, we realized that context was critical, but we couldn't really put it into words. We weren't saying that way until we got through a few podcasts and realized that everything that we were talking about came back to context and communication. That context and communication enables better contracts, better contractors, better contracting officers, and better outcomes from the contracts, which is the point, right? We're here to support the government mission. That's what the end goal is, whether you're on the government side or whether you're on the industry side. You're trying to meet mission requirements because that is success.
If we don't focus on having context, we're going to end up with just data. we just have piles of data, right? And we don't need more data. We need more context, because what that context will give you the ability to turn the data into information that you can do something with.
Without context, if you just have data, in the best case, you guess correctly. You get it right. In the worst case, you're wasting your counterpart's time and your own time by miscommunicating, by heading in opposite directions, or just around in circles. You wonder why things take so long in GovCon. We've had a bunch of we've had a bunch of different podcasts about why do RFPs take so long? Why does this happen? Why does that happen? A lot of times it comes down to a lack of communication and context.
Yeah, the time that's eaten up by the search for context is what can actually make an RFP. Because here's a specific example. You're going to get more questions and you have to answer those questions during the RFP zone. Those take time. The reason people ask questions, they don't have context. So the more you can front load, the better. As a contracting officer, without context, without sharing context, without overloading them with context, I got more offers from less qualified offerers because the offers didn't understand that they couldn't win. They didn't understand the language of what we're trying to do. They didn't understand our agency well, or even worse, they were just throwing darts and you know, playing this game of like, oh, well, I can underbid and get in, or I can say, we can do all these great things and our past performances, we can sell it with a great proposal. But realistically, their technical capability isn't as strong because they didn't understand how to actually do it. And I'm raising my hand because a couple of contracts I did that wrong. So if they write a good story but not actually be able to deliver it, it probably went back to them not having enough context.
Yeah. And the government not being able to write that context about what they're looking for and what is a successful offer into the RFP. So then when you get down to evaluating it, you have to evaluate against what you wrote in the RFP, and you end up awarding to the good story rather than what really is going to meet your requirements. Yeah, I did that too. I did that too. It's another thing we've talked about over and over is how difficult it is to write a request for proposal. We've mentioned the time zones a couple times already, Kevin. Just want to be clear that context and communication is pretty much zoneless. This occurs across the entire GovCon, government acquisition continuum, from the building the requirement to awarding the contract to performing and delivering to closing out the contract, all the way from the beginning of the acquisition time zones to the end of the execution time zones.
If you're not familiar with the acquisition time zones, they're in episode number 3, and the execution time zones are in episode 84.
All right, a few words on specifically why the government folks should care about context and communication.
If I want more targeted offers from contractors who understand our agency, they need context. If I want better proposals, I want better contracts. If I want lower maintenance contractors, that's the part I wish I had seen more as a contracting officer, is that by overwhelming them with context, I'm going to get lower maintenance contractors because they get us. The challenge is communicating early on what context they're missing. That's the part I wish I did more of, because answering questions during the RFP zone, like I said a minute ago, that's evidence that there wasn't enough context. The time to get context is during the market research zone. Start early.
Yeah. The last thing you want is a company that says, oh, I know what you want. I've done this kind of thing before. And you award to them, and then they get on the job and find out the nuances that make it so they can't do it just like they've done before. Nobody's happy then.
Right. Especially if they're losing money all of a sudden, which I've had that happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Or all of a sudden it wasn't a profitable contract for them. And it was a really awkward conversation. Because as a contracting officer, or as an industry, as a taxpayer, you want the good companies to win.
Yeah.
The good companies, they're the 99% who don't make the news. Not the ones you hear about. The ones that compete, they deliver, and they repeat their process. Let's give them context. Focus on giving people context earlier in the process, driving more communication. Let that communication lead to even more context so that you're front loading a successful acquisition strategy.
Yeah.
Man, I wish I'd done more of that when I was a contracting officer.
Yeah, you never hear contractor delivers on time, on budget, and on schedule. You never hear that on the news, right? It happens all the time. But what you hear about is when someone doesn't deliver on time or on schedule. There's a huge overrun, or there's a faulty part that caused problems. Lately, we've actually seen some more stories about procurement fraud out there, actions that are in violation of the Procurement Integrity Act driving acquisitions. That's what you hear about in the news. It's not all bad news. It's mostly good news. We just don't like to consume good news, I guess. Or it doesn't sell. It's not profitable for news companies to sell the good news.
There you go.
All right, industry side.
It's important to invest in getting the context. Ask the questions to get there. If you don't have the context, you got to find it. through targeting, through starting earlier in the process, because without it, you're probably throwing a dart like at a wall of balloons, hoping to pop a balloon, right? And for clarity, we actually, you know, we help with this. That's one of the things we do.
And how do you invest in context for industry folks? Well, it starts by building relationships. One of our earliest podcast topics was the 80-20 rule about how in GovCon, a lot of times it's 80% process and 20% relationships in order to win. And then we kind of flipped that later on and said, it can be 80% relationships and 20% process, but it's really a continuum. For small, low-dollar, non-complex things, you have to follow the rules. And if you follow the rules, you can probably win. For the major systems and programs, you have to have relationships in order to win. If you don't follow the process, you can still lose. It never goes away, but you have to have those relationships. Relationships are how you gain the context and how the government gains context and confidence in your ability to deliver for them. So ask questions. Get to know your agency. Get to know their needs. Show them how to solve the problems that they don't even understand they have. When they're building requirements, they build requirements towards your solutions once they understand their problems. But you can't possibly understand their problems unless you understand that agency, those people.
And their mission. Having context on the industry side, it'll tell you if you can win. That's a big part of this. And whether you can then deliver profitably if you do win. And it also helps you understand how to solve the customer's actual problem. Even if they don't know necessarily what the solution is out there, it'll help you understand what the problem is and how you can solve it.
That's a longer game, right? Like we were saying, that is not seeing a solicitation show up on the contract opportunities page at beta.sam.gov and bidding on it. That's being in the process at the very beginning, back in the requirements, the very earliest part of the market research zone, understanding how to solve their problems.
And fortunately, in the government market, so much information is available on what opportunities are coming out, a lot of it for free. So unlike in a lot of other industries where it's really hard to tell what's coming around the corner, so many contracts are repeated, so many requirements are repeated, so many things are coming back. It's easier to play that long game if you're ahead, but you got to have context to do that.
What do you mean by so many things are coming back?
Contracts are recompeted.
Oh,
the requirement doesn't go away. Yeah. Yeah. So the opportunity is coming back, I think is the way to say it.
Right. It's been 4 years. So here comes the recompete at the end of the fifth year.
Yeah. And you can see when the contract is going to expire. Yeah. So you know when the recompete's going to start.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Kevin, we have probably worn out the word context again. Remember that one presentation?
We did a whole context. Yeah.
Remember that presentation we were given at a conference and some of the participants, attendees were playing buzzword bingo and they chose context as our word of the day, overused that we weren't allowed to say ever again.
Yeah, got banned from the rest of that conference. So for me, on the government side, context drives communication. And communication will drive more context. So it is a crescendo that it creates. So spend the time up front to give context, and that will increase communication. Wish I had done more of that. Yeah. To be fair, the tools to do that weren't really as available to you and I. Zoom wasn't a thing back
then.
Yeah,
I still had a phone. I just didn't use it very much.
It wasn't as scalable, that's true. And I didn't have caller ID, I didn't answer it very often because it, you know, the first one bite me.
Who knows who that is?
On the government side, you're going to save time later by getting better contracts, better contractors, and less sideways activity, less back and forth trying to figure out what's going on. You're going to have low maintenance contractors because they have context on how to actually serve you.
Industry folks, seek context. If you don't have it, you might consider walking away from a bid. If you can't understand if the government isn't openly communicating what they need and why and how, it's going to be very difficult for you to win unless you're already on the inside. That's where those relationships pay off. Once you have context, show that you have it in your communications with the government, especially in the proposal. If you can speak their language, you have a much better chance of winning. Context allows you to take productive steps forward in concert with your counterparts. We're all marching in the same direction, not sideways, not circular, not opposite directions.
For some clarity, this is what we do at Skyway. We help you get context on what's going on every acquisition out there.
Yeah, that's where we took it one step beyond talking about context on a podcast, talking about how both sides can understand each other better to make government contracts better one contract at a time. All right, Kevin, that's it for today. I'll talk to you soon.
I'll see you, Paul.
Thank you for joining us today. This episode, as usual, is brought to you by Skyway Acquisition. We talked about it quite a bit on this podcast. You can check out Skyway at skywaymember.com or give us a call at 877-884-5280. We'll see you next week.
Thanks this week goes to our hang on a second. I'm like,
Apple, good start.
I was on it.
I'll drink some coffee while we're breaking.
There you go.